Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
On Mondays, we're always delighted to have our good friend Dermot Jewell, CEO of the CAI, with us in studio, the Consumer Association of Ireland. You can check out their website. Lots of handy information there as well. Irish consumer complaints above the norm, according to a recent report. So what do you complain about the most? Is it customer service in shops and restaurants? Is it being made to hold for ages on the phone? Is it the cost of things or the quality? How often do you complain? Goodness, I always thought we weren't a nation of complainers, but turns out we are.
We used not be, Aidan. We are now. Yeah, we've learned a lot.
Okay, so we're coming into line with other European cities and
Absolutely.
Colleagues. How much do you pay for your car insurance? Big question as well. Car insurance is always a bugbear, because if you don't shop round, you probably will get burned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, many years ago, there was a committee set up called the Motor Insurance Advisory Board. And one of the great things that that board did was, at the time, you never had your no claims bonus in advance. But there was a determination made in law that you had to get it at least 15 days in advance.
Okay.
Why? So you could shop around and ring around and say, I've got this. And that's the whole point of it. But you're right. We always, in Consumers Association, make the advice, never automatically renew any insurance.
Yeah, I did that the hard way. I was with a particular company and I knew the guy and I deal with him every year. And one year someone said to me, why don't you try? I'll try it for you, by the way. And the quote came in half, exactly 50%. And when I rang him to say, what's the story? He said, I could probably take maybe 10%. And I just said, listen, good luck.
Yeah,
long time. Yeah, I'll see you in the next life. So, I mean, it is. And that was my fault, because I didn't shop around.
Yeah,
I thought I was getting a great deal from a so-called somebody I knew in the business.
Yeah, and then a number of the companies changed their own tack. I mean, very often you'll find the companies that they for some reason, they don't want to be taking on too many new policies. So they'll escalate their prices, and whilst others will not, and they'll have various reasons. It could be the cost of claims, it could be whatever, but this is what happens. So you're better off finding, okay, it's gone up a lot or it's gone up a good bit, I'll go and see what the others are offering. Never assume that, sure, what's the point?
And so do you recommend then at least three quotes, ring around, or what about these so-called insurance companies? Well, not so-called, these insurance companies that will do that for you. We'll get you 12 quotes, or do you better doing it yourself?
You're better doing it yourself. I mean, some of the ones that say we'll get you the 12 quotes, they will. But that's the point. How are they connected, and how is it that they're only getting 12? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a reason usually in the background. So look, go and do it yourself.
Okay.
And see what you get.
Now, okay, the other side of that is, supposing you're paying £10 for your insurance for the year, or €10 for your insurance for the year, and then suddenly you go and you get a couple of quotes and you go, oh my God, £150. If it's too good to be true, you need to do a little bit of homework as well.
Of course you do, because it's likely that you'll find there's an excess on it. In other words, in the event, God help us, of a crash or anything like that, you'll probably end up paying the first 500, 600, 700, 800 euro of a claim.
So check
you don't want that. Yeah, check the excess first. And then also make sure that it is the comprehensive cover or whatever that you want. You know, always ask the hard questions. What's not covered is what we usually suggest to people to ask. Not what am I covered for, but what is not covered.
Okay. And also then if you get, that should
yeah, it makes them have to tell you.
And is there a best place to go for our younger brethren in terms of, you know, people with provisional licenses?
Well, there is, and there are a couple out there. And I mean, I suppose in fairness, there are a couple of offers whereby if you as an individual sign up to do a 1-day course at no cost to you, which really allows them to try it, see
evaluate
just how good
you're
trying.
Okay.
You'll get a fairly good whack of
really?
A discount, and it's good. So it's an incentive for the company as well, because they want to have you and keep you, hopefully.
All right.
Google it, you'll find it, no problem. Then there are other ones whereby, for example, if you agree not to use your car between, I think it's close enough to midnight and 6 a.m. then you will get a big discount.
So you're
as
not
a young person.
Witching hour,
exactly.
Late night club and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, anything advice there for taximen? We've had a couple of taximen texting us across the day. When we said we're talking about insurance, wondering, is there a choice for them, or what do they do? The same rules. Three quotes.
Same rules apply. Yeah. Get at least the three and see what's going on, because for all the reasons. See, that's another element. Taxi drivers would certainly know it, but I mean, the other point is, depending on what your profession is, you'll have a loading.
Okay.
I mean, musicians get hammered.
Right.
Why? Because they're out all night
and it's not
a good time to be driving, apparently.
Fair enough.
You know it is.
Yeah, but I know.
It isn't.
That's a good point. And maybe any taxi drivers listening at the moment might give us a little clue as to where to go. 57102 for 20 cent. For insurance purposes, we mean, lads. All right. And I believe health insurance is going to go up again now. We're going to expect another plethora of increases there. So any advice there?
I mean, no, to be honest with you, this is kind of a space to watch, because making the point there over the weekend to one of the newspapers that to all intents and purposes, I know that there are costs that are there, but at one point they all seem to be agreeing, yes, we're going to have to increase our prices by X amount. And we were making the point, Aidan, that hang on a minute, one might say that, two might say it, but all four can't say that, because that's price fixing in a weird little way. So you need to be very careful, guys.
Give you a ring.
Yeah, you don't all have the same overheads and you don't all have the same costs, so it can't all increase at the same rate from all of the providers at the same time.
Right. So let us know, by the way, what your experience is if you've had a bad one insurance-wise. Or if you had a good one as well, let us know, because it's always good to hear the pluses. Tom and Glass Nevin, though, I think we touched on this last week, but we didn't get time to get to it.
Right.
The night before Christmas Eve, he decided to light the fire in his house for the first time. The pipework in the attic had been sealed, if you remember. So we have Tom here in Glass Nevin. Hi, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Hello, Tom.
All right, you lit the fire, not realising the pipework in the attic had been sealed. So go from there. What happened?
Well, we got the heating change from oil to gas. And little did I know that they were sealing the system when they changed it over to gas.
You okay?
Now, on a few occasions, I'd said to the company, I won't mention the company, that I don't know what way the back boiler is connected to the heating system. And they played it down in a couple of times. And we asked the guy who did the heating job, could we light our fire? And he said, oh, we'll just switch on a light at the side of the fire and that should get a pump and you should get water downstairs, a bit of heat downstairs.
Right, yeah.
So we lit the fire then the eve before Christmas Eve, and shortly after that, we were sitting in the kitchen eating our dinner, and our son was up and lying on his bed in the front room, which was over the fireplace, over the living room. And an almighty roar came down, saying, shouting down at us, that the pipe on the rad had burst and there was steam all over the place.
He was okay, though.
But he was okay because we had a heavy curtain there as well and hit that, you know.
Right. So now your house is flooded.
So the floor was flooded with black, you can imagine, water coming out of the heating system.
Yeah.
And my daughter had to go through the steam of the room to try and get over to a window, trying to open it to let the steam out of the room.
Okay, so from there then, what happened? You contacted the company, put the heating in?
From there on, I sent a text off to the salesman who sold me the system, sold me the gas heating. And I said, could you get somebody out to me because of what happened?
Mm.
Now, that was at about 8 o'clock that evening before Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I heard nothing the next morning, so I looked on the internet and I got an emergency plumber who rang me and said, look, I'll be out to you within the hour.
Okay, he arrived.
He came out in the hour and he fixed the leak on the rad and he filled the system back up and pressurised it again, and he said, that should work, you can switch on your system. And
lovely.
I switched it on and he got it working for me.
Okay, and he obviously charged you then emergency call out rates, because that's what
he charged me for the call out, yeah.
And you were happy that the thing was working again. So what about the original company? Did they ever come back, or what did they say?
So then we normally go up to my parents' house on Christmas morning. So on Christmas Day at about 3:30, we're all in my parents' house, and I get a phone call from the salesman from the heating company.
Yeah, okay.
Saying how are things, was everything all right?
2 days later.
2 days later, right, by phone, yeah.
Okay, and what did you say to him? Well,
I told him what had happened, and I said, look, I'm not in a position to talk about it now, but I says, I'll ring you when we get over to Christmas,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah, I think that's okay, isn't it?
Because we just go up to my parents' house, and it's like we were there for the day, you know?
Yeah, you're concentrating on enjoying the Christmas. You've had a bit of a bad experience before, you were able to put it behind you. So go on, fast forward then in January.
So fast forwarding, they came back from the holidays on the 7th of January and they said, oh, we heard about what happened. We'll send somebody out and we'll disconnect that back boiler for you. And I said, well, hold on a second. I want to make sure I have my rights here before you disconnect it.
Before you do anything,
Before you do anything,
good
you know.
For you. Yeah.
So they said, oh, look, don't worry about that. We'll sort that out, you know. We'll send somebody out. So I agreed and they came out and they disconnected the boiler.
Right.
They took photos of everything that I told them what happened and they took photos of it all. And as they were leaving, this was one of their supervisors, I said to him, well, what about the compensation? He says, well, look, the office will deal with that.
Right, and then he ran.
So this was the first week in January as they came back. So this went on for a few weeks. I was sending emails to the company saying, I'm going to have to get something sorted out. And they said, look, there'll be a meeting in the office, which didn't take place, and it came to a head. And I sent a message. Before I sent this email, their salesman rang me one Thursday evening and he said, Tom, where are you? And I said, I'm in work. And he says, well, says he, I was going to drop up and see you. So he dropped up to see me and he said to me, he said, you were looking for a gas fire. And I said, well, we were at one time, but we're not looking for one now.
Yeah.
And he more or less intimated that would be part of the settlement.
Ah, okay.
Compensation.
Right.
And he said, look, this is the way we like to do it. You know, we'd like to do it this way. And I said, well, what about the rest? And he said, I suppose he'd make the rest up. I'm not mentioning any figures. He'd make the rest up probably with cash or whatever.
Right, okay.
So that went on and I got no word back. So I sent an email one morning at 11 o'clock in the morning and I told him I was getting a solicitor and I was reporting him to the RGI.
Right, fair play to you, yeah.
And within 2 hours, I had a full three-page letter refuting anything to do with what happened.
Okay, so where are you now? At this point in time, you've nothing from them and they're saying it's not their fault, nothing to do with them.
I just left it there with the letter because I wasn't going to go back. I wanted to get advice on it.
All right, well, Dermot's here. He's the man for that advice.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
How are you, Dermot?
I'm good. I tell you, Tom, I'm aware of this, thankfully, and I appreciate the detail you gave. Can I just ask something? The wonderful guy who came out on Christmas Eve to you, did he make any comment or has he written any causes, if you like, in relation to what happened?
Well, he told me, he stood there and he told me, he says, it's taboo, he says, to do gas central heating with a seal system when there's a back boiler involved. He says you cannot mix the two.
Right, right. And correct me if I'm wrong, is it the fact that at one stage, one of the guys who was involved with this company that fitted it said, gave an apology to you and said, I don't know what I was thinking when I told you to...
The guy who left us the day he was finished the heating, the fitter who did the installation, we said to him, can we light the fire? And he says, yeah, go ahead. And when they came back to disconnect the boiler, the supervisor says, I'm bringing a certain person over to help me. Is that okay with you, Tom? And I said, look, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
So I was walking through my garage where the stopcock is for the water to go and fill the system.
Right.
And the guy was down turning off the valve and I looked down and he turned up and he looked at me and he said, Tom, I'm very sorry, he says. I just don't know what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look,
I
Tom.
Said, look, I said, look, 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 we'll get over it. I said,
accidents happen.
I know and I appreciate that. And I understand... Of course, there was no question. One of the difficulties here, it was Christmas. But leaving all that aside, I think it was all of the positive stuff that you were told, which is, don't worry, we'll sort it. Yes, absolutely, we'll make things work. And then suddenly it clamped down and you were getting nothing.
Yes.
Can I just suggest the following to you?
Go ahead, yeah.
I would suggest that you write to the company and register the letter. And tell them that for all of the previous elements of that were discussed with them, but most importantly, because you were speaking to myself and to Aidan, that we have recommended that if they do not come back within 24 hours, and I really wouldn't go beyond 24 hours because it'll be registered and they'll have to come back to you. If they're not going to come back with a reasonable offer, because I know that your floors were damaged, I know your bed was damaged, I know that there is a significant amount of loss to you. But beyond that, that is probably the most that they're going to give you.
I know, yeah.
Initially, but without some element of a goodwill gesture. But what I would suggest that you do is, as I say, write to them, register it, tell them you've been speaking to ourselves, that you were given advice by them to do exactly what you did, and as a result of that, there's been a problem.
Yes.
Simply put, there's been a problem. They know all of the detail, you're not going to into it again, and therefore, that...
Would you tend to keep that letter short, so?
Keep it short, you know all the detail, you've written to me, I refute your letter entirely. Point is, I am significantly and seriously out of pocket due to the advice of you and your agents.
Okay, so where are we going with that then? What are we putting on the
end? Make the point within 24 hours, if they do not come back with a clear method of facilitation of a settlement...
Yes.
And now, literally, that a clear method. By that, I mean in either cash or a banker's draft of exactly what they're going to do to remedy your loss. That you will go the legal route of requiring a solicitor. And most importantly, that you most certainly will report them to through the RGI, because it's a serious issue. And lastly...
Well, Dermot, I did report them.
Oh, you did?
I did, yes.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing. So that gets the matter up. But one thing you will, there are two other things you will need to do. One in the letter is ask them, in the absence of them making a formal settlement offer to you, that you were here and now requesting a copy of their insurance policy.
Right.
And if they don't supply it to you, that you will ask your solicitor to collect to get it. And secondly, that moving on from that, aside from that, go and speak to that gentleman who came out on Christmas Eve, and you may have to pay him now.
Get a report from him.
Yeah, you'll need an independent report from him, and you may have to pay for it, but it would be money well spent.
I understand, yes.
And point out to them in your letter as well that this advice is coming from Dermot Jewell of the CAI.
I will indeed, yeah.
Okay, and will you come back to us next week and let us know how you get on, Tom?
I will indeed,
Tell them you'll be back on the radio next week and you'll be naming and shaming them.
I will indeed. Okay. That's brilliant.
You're
that's
a gent.
Brilliant.
Best of luck with it, Tom.
Take it from there, Tom.
Thanks, Aidan. Thank you, Dan.
That's odd. Very welcome, sir. Very welcome.
I will indeed. I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Going to hear from Alan now. He's got a problem with a phone company.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597.
Dublin's Q102.
All right, Alan's here. He had a problem with Vodafone. We were talking before. Hi, Alan.
Good evening, Aidan. How are you
doing? Just very briefly, give us the details again. Just to remind our viewers now, our listeners.
In July last year, I was approached by Vodafone and offered a package of €65 to include an upgrade in the phone and broadband for my computer. Then they started to charge me for the broadband in August, September, October.
Yep.
I got in touch with them and I rang them 12 times and 14 times in January and I was being ignored. I was on your show 2 weeks ago and Dermot told me to get in touch with Comreg.
Yeah.
Comreg, Vodafone actually rang today. Because their comrade had got in touch with them.
Lovely.
And basically what they said is that I was misled.
Lovely.
They're going to lower the price of my phone package.
Excellent.
But they're going to exclude the broadband, so I have to pay for the broadband separately.
All right. And are you happy with that?
No.
All right, so where can we go with that then?
Alan, how you doing? Just in relation, what's the difference now going to be from what was the 65 all-inclusive and now they're being separated? What will it cost you?
It will cost me 82.
That's not right at all.
Oh dear, and they've admitted...
That basically means you're getting nowhere.
And they admitted we misled you.
The last people you spoke to...
My alternative is to get back to broadband.
Right.
But you need the broadband, presumably.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, I can't help but feel that there are others in the market who now just might be coming in and might be offering a better deal than that. Could I ask you one more time, Alan, to go back to Vodafone?
Right. I actually got a contact number from this lady that rang me today.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Would you mind going back to her, Alan, and tell her that you were speaking to ourselves and that, look, realistically... This is not a good deal. You were offered and sold a package that, as they've agreed, misled you. So they have to facilitate you in some way. They've made a mistake. They got it wrong and they have to do something. And suggest to her that if not, then realistically, it goes beyond, we just misled you, we're sorry. That's a serious issue. So they're going to have to do something realistically before it comes back to us. And this gets an official report into Comreg saying, how many others have you misled?
Yeah, if there's one, is it just there somebody not trying to...
So is my contract valid now, Dermot?
Well, it's not valid because they've admitted that they misled you, so that means the contract is off. It's not your choice now, but that means that, you know, the contract's not valid because one of the terms was completely wrong.
But if you're thinking of walking away, you need to tell them you're walking away.
Oh, you have to, yeah. By all means,
I just want to know from your point of view, is the contract valid? Because they would tell me that it is valid.
Well, it's only valid if they're going to uphold the terms and conditions that were agreed when they sold it to you for €65, which they've just said they're not going to. So that contract is not valid. They've broken the contract with you.
They're trying to sell you a dearer one without problems.
Yeah, chic. So as I say, I would say to them, not good enough. have to do better. And believe you me, certainly on behalf of CAI, we would support any official complaint to Comreg in relation to this if they're not going to do something for
so
you.
So, Alan, sorry this goes on yet again, but will you do that? Call them and come back to us again and let us know?
Yeah, I will do, Aidan, no problem.
Hopefully we can put this nightmare to bed for you.
Yes, yeah.
All right, thanks, Alan. Thanks indeed. Cheers. Cheers.
Just a little bit more time and it should write. It's terrible.
Another man is pulling his hair out, I believe, Chris from Dunboyne, mortgage protection issue. Hiya, Chris. Hang on, that's been better. Hiya, Chris. Are you well?
Yeah, fine. Not a bother.
Okay, well, tell us what happened.
I got in touch with the bank last Tuesday and they said, could I leave it with them for a day or two? And I done that.
Okay.
And on Friday, I arrived into the bank and I eventually got someone to talk to.
All right.
And they even agreed with the letters that I got that it was I shouldn't have got them.
Okay,
I shouldn't have got this particular letter the way that it was worded.
Just to remind people very briefly, you took out mortgage protection. When you went back for it, you were told a different story. You were also told at the bank in question, well, we don't actually have the policy. A company in the UK has. These guys were writing out. He asked you all sorts of ridiculous questions. Are you looking for work as it stands? Mind your own business is the answer, perhaps, that they should have got. So now, back to the bank. The bank said, oh, this shouldn't be happening. Where are we now?
The company then in England rang me back and I quoted them all the different things and I was told I shouldn't have been in any of these forms whatsoever.
Right.
So she was saying, no, you have to fill them in. And I said, well, I'll put it this way. I said, one in particular, I said, the ones with the social welfare, I said, I have filled in the form and everything is on that you need instead of filling in that form. And eventually she came off her high horse and says, I agree, that one shouldn't have been sent, but you will have to fill in the other one.
Crikey.
To get your claim.
Unbelievable, aren't they?
Now, I have in turn got back to the bank and they told me, well, it's not us that deals with this, it's their head office and a certain girl looks after it, in which I got a letter today to tell me that I had made a report about it last week. She has down on the 20th of February and I have to let them go the way that they do it. But in turn, I have been in touch with the crowd in England, and I said to them, I never signed a contract with you of any sort.
Okay.
And the girl, in turn, said to me, I asked her a question, and I says, by the way, I says, don't mind me asking, when did you take over, I said, the insurance to do with AIB? And she said, 2004. And I said, I got my contract in 2003, so I don't think I should be even talking to you, is it? Now, she said, no, we have all their form, and this is the way it has to be done.
Right, they have the files.
Now, I've been talking to the manager, and he even says that the forms, it seems to be like an English thing to do with their social welfare, the way it works.
Right.
But he still says there's nothing he can do about it. Well, he was supposed to ring me this evening, and he didn't do it.
He didn't, of course, yeah.
And when I rang back him again, I was told, I will get him to ring you.
And you're still waiting.
But that was 11 o'clock this morning. I got the phone call, give me a few hours. It was nearly 5 o'clock when I rang them back, just to make sure that they knew what I was asked, you know.
So this is what they do, they bamboozle you, they stall you, they put every obstacle in your way.
So what's happening now, Chris, are two things. One, there's a form, one more form that has to be signed out and signed and completed. And two, there's a process ongoing in the UK that must be gone through, which was going to take how long, did they say?
They said if I filled in the form, they would do it ASAP. That's what they say. But it's to do with to prove that I'm looking for work.
Okay. And how difficult is it for you to complete that form? How long will it take you?
No, well, I'll put it this way. They give you an example on the blood thing, and there's 1, 2, 3. There's 5 different lots that you have to... Well, what they want to know is that I was looking for work from last January.
Right, okay.
Right. Okay, so...
There I am.
Sorry, what I'm getting to is it easy to just sign her out, or do you have to get third parties to sign, yes, Chris was in here and he was trying to get a job and we said no? Is it that kind of a scenario?
No, I'd say you just have to fill it in and what you have to put down is... Well, I'll put it this way. What's on it is... let me see what's on it. Telephone number of company.
Right, okay.
Company name... Company address, name of persons with whom you spoke.
Right.
Well, is the next step logically then to fill that out and get it back to them as quickly as possible and see what happens?
And it's probably the best thing to do. And after that, send that to them and then get an update. Okay, what do you mean by ASAP? Is it tomorrow? Is it the day after?
Normally they say it's within 5 days.
Okay, 5 days. If we can get it sorted in that, if it's not sorted in five, then if you can come back to us, I suppose what I will do is I will get a little bit of detail from you and I'll refer to an individual within the banking sector and see if we can get some traction on it after the 5 days if nothing's happening.
That letter, though, I would register it because these companies are infamous for losing correspondence.
No, well, I, that's what I've done. Anything that I've sent to them, they've been getting it's gone air mail, the whole lot. So
great. If you can scan the stuff, then you can email it. It'd be perfect.
This goes on. Chris, will you do that and come back to us?
Yes, I do that anyway. That's what anything that I send to them, I always have a copy of.
Good man, all right, you're a gent. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Okay.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks indeed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh man, you know this is wearing me down, and it's not me. You want to go in and you want to kick ass, don't you?
Yeah.
These stalling tactics. Legislation. There should be some form of legislation that these cowboys can't get away with what they're doing.
There is, but they get away with it.
Anyway, more after the break. Dublin's Q102. Dermot Jewell joins me this evening, and we're getting through a lot of problems and a lot of, as you can hear, the frustration that some people are having to endure after they bought policies and things in good faith and signed contracts in good faith. Yeah. And these aren't small companies; they're big companies. They should be getting their bloody acts together.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Dublin's Q102.
Now, Derby, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, Pat was on. His son went in for mole mapping.
Yes.
And they had a problem getting the disc. The disc came back and it was blank, so it was no use to his doctor, and there were all sorts of problems. So Pat joins us now. Hiya, Pat.
Hiya, lads.
Good. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is we did go back the day after I was last speaking to you.
Right.
And I spoke with a manager. And they gave me a fresh disc.
And did this work this time?
Oh, yes, it worked. They showed it to us in the screening clinic. They put it up on the television and let us see it play. And it worked perfectly.
Excellent.
But the thing that concerned me was, as I said to you then, when my doctor typed in the individual's name, there was no reference in the Irish Medical Council's database of the person.
Right.
So basically, when I produced a letter and showed it to them, it was a misspelling of the individual's name. So who initially typed it and spelled the name as it sounded rather than as it is.
Oh, good night. Okay. Yes, typo.
You know what I mean?
Good Lord, yeah.
They did offer us an appointment to come back on the Friday, which we did accept.
Good stuff.
And they'd mapped it out and told us, yes, there is some moles at a certain stage that may need to be removed, but not just yet.
All right, so that's some good news there for you.
Oh, that's positive.
I think, in general, I got exactly what I wanted. Like, you know what I mean? In fairness to them.
All right.
It was just, as I said to you, the doctor was just a bit concerned because of the fact his name wasn't in
like
the
him, yeah.
Good, good for him, yeah.
So, someone else's spot chart.
That's great, though.
Pat, we're delighted, and we are delighted that you took the trouble to ring us back and let us know. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right,
no,
cheers. Perfect. Thanks indeed.
Cheers, Pat. Bye.
All right, some good news there. Pat got sorted out. And well done to the mole mapping clinic as well, who facilitated him and looked after him. Hayley was on now last year. Before Christmas. You ended up, Hayley, good evening, you're taking the travel department to the small claims court. Is that right?
That is, yeah. Good evening, lads.
Hi, Hayley.
Hiya. But we got a court date we did there in November because this is going on now since March of 2012.
Right, yeah.
And we didn't get called, I think we didn't get called on the November date, and we only got another court hearing date there the other week.
Right, I understand.
And the judge ended up going in our favour over our case.
Okay, just to remind people, you were on a holiday with the travel department, it cost a lot of money, the holiday was a disaster, bad service from the company, the hotel, bad quality meals, faulty facilities, and travel department weren't interested in playing ball, so you go to the...
We told you to go to the small claims court.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were interested in playing ball, but you weren't happy with what they were offering. Okay, so how did it fare out? Are you happy?
Better than no outcome. Let's just put it that way, do you know?
Yeah.
But I would, you know, from our opinion, from what we, you know, my family experience, we wouldn't travel with the travel department again. I know.
That's understandable if you had a better
just to let other people know, from our opinion, you know, for the money that we paid.
Okay.
I would rather book the holiday myself, I think, next time. It's kind of turned me off going through a travel agent.
I can understand that too. I mean, you know, other people would have different. I didn't experience in a holiday that I booked to a travel agency, and I rang them back, and they were very good. They're very helpful.
Gotcha.
But you can be lucky, you can be unlucky.
Yeah. In some cases, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Now, hang on, you shelled out over $3,500 for this holiday, so it's a lot of money gone out.
Yes.
You got some compensation or some redress back, did you?
We did, from the judge last week.
Okay,
yeah.
And has that cash arrived yet, or are you still waiting on it?
Oh, no, it'll probably take another couple of weeks, reckon, before it is, but, we're satisfied that the judge went in our favour, over the case, because, it was a lot of money.
Of course it is, and your frustration and the anger, and then also the wasted time. I mean, you're not going to get that time back.
But definitely wouldn't travel with the travel department, just to let people know.
All right, Hayley, thank you very much.
Thanks,
all the best, Hayley.
Thanks a lot. Now, it must be said as well that I'm sure the travel department, very reputable company, I'm sure they have lots and lots of happy customers.
Of course.
I mean, people do have bad experiences. Hayley had one, and the judge agreed with her in the small claims court, so she is happy. And I would say, just to stress that again, I'm sure there are many, many happy customers who have travelled with the travel department. So just to balance it.
Yeah, and in another way too, obviously because the travel department fought this.
Yeah.
They believed they were right, so... They're probably going to change their policy approach in certain things again. So again, it's positive for everybody. So well done.
And also, and well done Hayley for following it through, because people often get worn out by this and then don't go through.
That's it.
But you have been directing people for quite a while now towards the small claims court. And a lot of people wouldn't be aware that that's a route they can go to a limited value.
It's effective. It's reasonable. It's exactly as Hayley said there, though. It's not fast. I mean, this started in March and she didn't get a court date till November and late. It's the way it is, because it's, as I say, it's an affordable court. It costs €25.
Right.
That's it. And you just go and download a form. It's on courts.ie.
All right.
And that's where you download.
There's a limited value on the claim, though.
€2,000.
€2,000. Okay.
€2,000. But if you have a problem, and for example, this would have been one of those cases. Yes, the holiday may have cost $3,500, but your level of compensation would be within a 2,000 limit. Then that's okay. It worked, obviously.
Okay, need to take a quick break. Back in a moment. Hopefully, we'll be hearing from John. John was on a couple of weeks ago. Remember, his uncle was paying the gas bill and the electricity bill religiously.
Indeed,
I do.
Yes,
they gave him the rebate. And that was followed by a punch to the solar plexus.
Right. Seven odd grand.
Actually, that rebate was wrong. We've been undercharging you. And here's the deal. We'll hear more about that afterwards.
Call Clooney. Weekdays from 6 p.m.
on Dublin's Q102.
Now, we were just talking about John's uncle there who had that problem with the huge gas bill that came after the rebate. John, obviously, it was a very frightening time for a man in his elderly years. What is the latest?
Just to refresh me, he got a gas bill, €7,500.
Yes.
After being on the radio for the second time, Borgosh contacted Q102 to get my details. They contacted me directly. The first thing they did was put me on the bill as a named person to contact, so I could liaise with them back and forth. The second thing they did was recalculate the bill, which we had hoped they would do, because obviously the rates had increased over the years.
Yeah.
So that brought the balance down to just over €5,000.
Now,
between September and the time I contacted you on the radio, my uncle had paid a couple of hundred off the bill anyway, just because he was worried and whatnot.
Of course.
So the balance was €4,800, and of course, still not happy. I said, well, I'm not happy with that. Neither is my uncle. He's still worried. So a couple of days later, the guy phoned me again. To be honest, he was helpful. He contacted me nearly every day to keep me up to date.
Lovely.
They knocked in an additional €500 off goodwill, and because he said on six occasions Borgosh failed to instigate their customer charter, on six occasions he was knocking off €25 for each six or seven occasions. So it was another €210 payment off that. So after recalculation of the bill and then the reduction of the €710 goodwill, if you like, from Borgosh, the bill stands now at €4,100.
Wow, it's still a lot of
which
money.
Is still a lot of money, I was expecting 2,000, and even then,
And where does it stand now? Is it simply that they're looking for this money now, John?
No. What they have done is obviously they put the prepay meter in the house.
Yes.
So what they're doing now is they're going to take 25% off the gas card every time he tops up. And, at least that way then it's manageable, if you like. I mean, it's still a lot of money, Jesus. I mean, €4,100. But at least this way now, he'll be able to kind of keep up with the payments, if you like.
Okay. He has a tax, though, on his gas bill, effectively, for the foreseeable
future. 25%. Yeah. And actually, they had put that on the bill. They had put that on the gas card even without telling him. It wasn't made clear to him that there was a 25% premium. But once I said, listen, the bill is in dispute. at least stop that until we resolve the kind of thing. They did stop it, which is, you know, fair enough.
Right.
And now that they've basically said, that's it, you're not getting any more off the bill, they've put the premium back on the gas cars. They have said, you know, if my uncle wants, they can move the meter outside the house. But I mean, it's a prepay meter now, so
it doesn't matter.
But actually, one thing I will draw to your attention is, I don't know if you're familiar with the gas meter, but there's a regulator on the gas meter just before the gas goes through the actual meter.
Okay.
Now my uncle's meter and regulator is under the stairs, and he was getting a more efficient energy boiler fitted, and the installer actually noticed that the meter was leaking between the regulator and the gas meter.
Wow.
Now, how they didn't pick that up is beyond me. The emergency guy from Bord Gáis who came out said, listen, the regulator can fail at any time, which, you know, okay, I'm not going to dispute that, but the fact is there was always a faint smell of gas after that meter was put in. Always that smell there, and even before, so there was a faint smell. Now, they didn't change the regulator because they say they don't change the regulators, even though they know that they're in people's homes and that they could fail at any time, which I just, you know, I find unbelievable. So after the guy came out, he changed the regulator, and the faint smell of gas is gone now.
Good,
but I mean, I just think that's disgraceful. I know there's a whole other issue altogether, but I mean, I just have to mention it, you know. It's bloody disgraceful.
John, one quick question, just to remind me, how many years had it been since the meter was read? Was it 12?
So it was actually, they said the meter hadn't been read since 2002. That's the last time they got an accurate reading. And just to go back to that rebate, the rebate was actually for just over €1,100. That was late 2010, 2011. So it was actually a large rebate, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the electricity meter, by the way, the electricity meter had been read, and that's inside there. That had been read throughout the years, you know.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's the one company or the one body responsible for reading the meters. So I don't know how they didn't read the gas meter.
Okay, if you don't mind, John, would you just make one more contact with me, because I do want to just take one more shot at this and write personally to Bord Gáis, because I honestly believe they could do a little bit better.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Let's go for it.
Absolutely,
let's go for
and
John,
I appreciate that.
No, not at all.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks a million. All the best.
Fair play to you, Dermot.
Absolutely, I know. Brilliant.
But, you know, man, in the autumnal years, he's paid all his taxes. You can see that he's gone down paying in advance every week or adding something to the bill.
He thought he was doing this right.
He gets caught in a situation like this, bang, and now he's got this surcharge tax hanging over him for probably the rest of his days, which is pretty scary and pretty awful. Let's see if he can do something on that and come back to the debate.
Yeah.
A couple of brief problems before we go. Cody is 9, bought a tablet out of his communion money from Argus in the Omni Centre in Santry, isn't working properly anymore, went back, they said, you need your receipt to get the guarantee activated. Can we help Cody? I mean, he's 9. Come on, guys in Argus. Come on, he bought it there.
Yeah, that can't be hard. He's only a young lad. And you don't want to alienate this poor child and all his friends from your store forever. Look, help him out there. And if nothing else, guys, all you have to do is get in touch, make one phone call to your manufacturer or ask your buyer to call the manufacturer, and they'll set up the guarantee for him.
Okay.
That's crazy.
All right. And look, for everyone else, it is important you buy something, whether it's a microwave, whether it's a phone, put the receipt in a drawer somewhere where you can get back to it if you need proof of purchase, because you know, if you're buying a credit card, I suppose you can go back and say, look, there it is.
But
sometimes
that's
the item has to be itemized. If you bought two or three things, they might say,
you're
actually,
that's can't
not
back it.
That doesn't fit. And finally, 79-year-old man, Vodafone customer, gets a phone call offering him a new package. He says, yeah, I'd like that. That sounds good. What's the deal? And they give him a sort of data, they give him minutes, they give him everything. Then they say, go down and pick up your phone. He gets his phone. There's no data on this phone, but he's been billed for the data for the past 6 months. What do we do there? Do we contact the nice marketing people in Vodafone and say, look, lads, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And and remind them about the difficulty we've had tonight and over weeks with Alan, who had to go to Comreg. This is crazy. Vodafone really need to put their house in order. They're making an absolute hames of
this. But who's selling this sort of thing to a 79-year-old
man?
Exactly,
come on.
I mean, you know, what do they think? He's going to be Googling all day? And I'm sure he said, this is a phone. I want a phone. I used to ring my grandchildren.
You can put money on it. Yes.
All right. But I suppose the irony, or the stupidity rather, is then that the phone doesn't even have a data portal. I mean, there's nothing on it data wise.
It doesn't
does it? Was that
do what it's supposed to do in your contract?
Yes, but thank you for billing me for the data anyway. Well, okay, we'll contact them tomorrow and see what the story is on that, report back next week. Dermot, pleasure as always. Good luck with the extra. I know we give you extracurricular activity. I know we give you extra homework to do on top of what you're doing during the day. In the day job. So look, keep it up. It's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
And again,
CAI.ie.
It's simple. For people who want to have a little look around the website, there's loads of interesting advice there and help. And as I said before, particularly if you're buying something. And listen, you do a subscription as well, don't you? What's the deal on that?
We do. It's again, go onto the website. It's 24 euro, 8 euro a month, 24 euro a quarter.
All right.
And as I say, we independently product test, which is quite unique.
Okay.
So dishwashers, washing machines,
all there.
Irons, anything you want, tell us.